History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Pastor Daniel Paikia from Gold Coast Chapel. I saw him preaching on a live stream recently from the Easter United, which is a combined church event at the Gold Coast, and I thought, this guy's a good preacher. I want to get to know him. And then I met him a couple of days later at Queensland Parliament House at this pro-life event we were at. And I said, hey, mate, I think it's God. We've got to do an interview. So we've got him on the radio today. Welcome along, my brother. How are you?
Good morning, mate. Hey, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on the radio today.
Thank you, mate. Well, let's start with Easter United. Thousands of people gathered together, hearing the gospel and worshipping at Easter. It's a great picture of unity on the Gold Coast, isn't it, eh?
It is actually incredible because it's not just one church, it's multiple churches in our city coming together under the name of Jesus. And yeah, it's quite a beautiful and powerful statement, I think, in our city anyway. We absolutely love it.
Love it, mate. Well, people can search it up online and watch the sermon that you preached and see the music and all that. And they'll see you're a good-looking bloke. What's your background? Where are you from?
I'll take it, Matt. I'll take it. I was actually born in New Zealand, but about 4 days later, my mum and dad moved to Sydney. So I'm a Sydney boy.
Yep.
Raised there. And I'm an Ocker Aussie through and through. I'm so Australian, Matt, I support the Wallabies.
Fantastic, mate. And tell us a bit of your story. Were you raised in a religious household?
Yeah, mum and dad were Christians, but I was, you know, a little bit of a loose unit like a lot of kids can be. And I knew about God, but I never knew him. And so I grew up in a home that believed in God and went to church and Christ followers. But I made some bad decisions and, you know, ended up in a really bad way as a young kid and went down a road, you know, which a lot of people can, involving drugs, alcohol, crime and all that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They got radically saved. I mean, when I use that word radically, it's in every sense of the word, radically saved and met Christ. And he rescued me at the age of 17 and turned my life around. And I've been following him ever since.
How did it happen, mate, when you were 17? Tell us the story.
Yeah, so, oh, man, I walked into church and, you know, I was pretty whacked out, spaced out. And it was actually three levels in a building. It was Hillsong Church in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And three levels in a building, and I was right at the top level, very back row. And, you know, the Spirit of God was in that building, 1,500 people roughly, and I was dying on the inside, and just the pain, the grief, all the junk going on inside my heart. And I knew God was in this place, and couldn't tell you what the preacher said, wouldn't have a clue. I just knew God was there, and they gave an altar call where you come down the front. And one of the pastors there made her way all the way up to the top floor and tapped me on the shoulder and said, young man, would you like to give your life to Jesus? Actually, Matt, what I first said, my initial reaction was, I didn't use Christian words, but I told her to boot off. You can imagine what I did say. And then she left, but then this conviction wouldn't leave me. And yeah, I got up off my chair and made my way down three flights of stairs and stood down the front and literally just bawled my eyes out. And the best way I can articulate it was like God came to me, put his hands around my heart, and started to put it back together. And, yeah, it was incredible. It was a powerful moment. Never forgot it. Like, I can remember it like yesterday. And that started my journey of faith.
How did your life change?
Well, my attitude changed. my words, my language changed. My choices started to change. And, look, nobody actually was hammering me to tell me to change. The Spirit of God was in me working that out. And, so my lifestyle changed. I obviously pulled away from all those old friends and I was in church a lot more. I was around Christians and then I started to get discipled. And it dramatically, when I think about it, changed me in a lot of ways. I came from death to life, you know.
Awesome, mate.
It was amazing, yeah.
And Did you get involved in ministry soon after that?
Yeah, it wasn't too far. I was 17 when I got married. I went into full-time ministry when I was 22. And so I was pretty young and thought I knew it all. Knew nothing, but had a real heart and desire to serve the Lord and, you know, just get involved and just do whatever I can.
Yeah. Tell us, where did you do Bible college?
I did Bible college at Hillsong.
Yeah, great.
In 97-98.
Wow.
Yeah, really amazing. Did it with my wife, who was my girlfriend and fiance at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was pretty special doing that with her.
Well, mate, our paths may have crossed, and I think you and I chatted about this the other day. So in 1993, I was doing Bible college at C3 in Sydney with Phil Pringle.
Yeah.
And I went to Hillsong Conference, and I actually taught drama at the youth conference. And Phil Dooley was my boss, who's now the senior pastor,
yeah.
and you know Phil. And then I remember going to Hillsong Conference every year for years. Just changed my life. What an incredible ministry, hey?
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. Mm. Yeah, changed our lives, that's for sure.
And so did you start ministry there?
Yeah, I got involved there as a young guy, and then I ended up getting involved actually with a ministry that Hillsong heavily supported called Teen Challenge.
Oh.
That helps drug addicts and young men coming off the street and
yep.
out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, because Hillsong was heavily supporting that, and I came out of that world, so I was like, man, I might just help out here. And that was really amazing, actually. Yeah.
How long were you with them for?
About 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 7 years.
Fantastic, mate. I've worked with Teen Challenge in Brisbane, where they have a house called New Hope House.
Oh, how good.
And it's kind of funny because our church is New Hope Church.
Yes, true.
And yeah. we were both in Kelvin Grove at the time. And people would ring us up going, is this New Hope House? I'm like, no, here's their number. But I went and did some Bible studies there. You know, these young guys getting off the drugs, getting their life on track. I mean, they just have changed so many lives around the world, haven't they?
So true. It's phenomenal. I'm thankful for those years of ministry because it changed me probably more than I might have changed these young men.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
It taught me a lot about walking with people from the gutter, so to speak, to wholeness. That's a real journey and it's difficult. No, you just can't get up and preach the gospel, if you know what I mean, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
There actually is work to do
to
help people find their freedom.
And then what did you do after Teen Challenge?
So I actually went to New Zealand in 2005,
mm-hmm.
and I set up Teen Challenge there.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I was on staff with a church as well and the executive team of a church in Auckland. And
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we ended up doing that. It was the ministry didn't exist there, and so we were like, oh, well, let's just start it. And it was a pretty wild time, actually.
Mm.
We left everyone we knew in Sydney and all our friends and family and everything. Went to a place we didn't know, no friends, no family. It wasn't even a job there, actually. It
yeah,
was
right.
no ministry.
Amazing.
And, yeah, so we did that for a while as well.
And what did you do after that?
And then in 2012, good friend of mine, Marshall Gray, him and I have known each other a long time, and he was at a big church in Auckland and I was at another big church in Auckland, and he was finishing up and coming back to the Gold Coast. And so we together came back and started a Gold Coast Chapel in 2012.
Wow, suffering for Jesus on the Gold Coast, hey?
Tell you, it's a hard gig, tell you what.
I bet you get that a lot.
We do, actually. It's so true. Oh, I see why you chose the Gold Coast.
I often joke whenever I go on holidays at Surfers Paradise, I say, oh, you know, it's in the Bible. It says, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Well, you know, I think I'll use that one for sure.
It's a gorgeous place, but there's a lot of trouble there, mate, hey?
Yeah, it is. And that's why we kind of laugh because it's actually really... You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful beaches, sand, sun, nice weather. But, it's quite a broken place behind all the glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
Behind the nice homes. And I guess people could just hide it more here.
Yeah.
What's really going on, if that makes sense. So we've found it to be an incredible place that needs the gospel. And a lot of people are hurting. But it's just behind maybe the facade of a big house, nice car, postal address, etc. But we love it. We love it, that's for sure.
And what does Gold Coast Chapel do for those that are doing it tough?
So we have, Chapel has several different ministries that we heavily support. So as a church, where our mentality is we're not going to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
So in our city, there's amazing ministries like Set Free Care, which feeds the homeless, Transformations, which works with young men in drug addiction and many others. Yahweh House, which has worked with unwanted pregnancies for women. And so we're, our church heavily supports them financially, and we encourage our people to also give and serve there. So we function that way as a local church, and we obviously do things, Christmas dinner in a box that is from our church.
Yeah.
But we love the idea of just putting wind in the sails of other ministries that have been in our city for a long time and doing
so
great work. Yeah.
And I know that Sue Baines is a part of your church, and she's actually employed by the Lord Mayor. Tell us about that connection.
Correct. So she's an amazing lady who's been in this city a long time, a prayer warrior. She pastored in this city for a long time. And so, yeah, she's moved out of that role and got involved with the council, and then God connected her with Mayor Tom Tate. And so she has a little office there, and is like, I guess, for want for better words, is a spiritual advisor, but don't pin me to those exact words.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so she has a really incredible opportunity that God's opened up to her. And yeah, so she's an amazing woman, has a lot of influence, but really fears the Lord and loves God's people, and just wants to serve the city.
And Mayor Tom Tate got baptized a number of years ago. It was on the front page of the Gold Coast Bulletin. What a powerful testimony, hey?
It was actually Sue and her husband Roger and Marshall actually baptized in that
amazing
day. It was beautiful.
Now, mate, you've also got an incredible story about your son. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so my son, he's 21 now, but he's at the time, June last year, June the 11th, he was on his motorbike delivering Uber. He's a chippy apprentice by day, but he's a bit of a hustler, works hard, and he had a motorbike and he was delivering food in the evening to earn more cash. And he had a pretty severe accident, was T-boned by a four-wheel drive, and that literally almost took his life. He was in a coma for a month, and he had a severe brain injury and smashed his femur, tore his left ACL, MCL, PCL up, his gastrointestinal, shattered his hip, tore his aorta. That was a miracle, man. His aorta was torn, and they found the tear at about 4 a.m. the next morning, and they grade these tears. If you have a 4, you bleed out on site, and his was a 3+. But they found it at 4 a.m. the next morning.
Wow.
The accident was about 9 p.m. the night before. But somehow, the only way we would say would God stem the flow of that blood and kept him alive. And his brain injury, they say over 75% of people don't make it back from that injury alone as well. And so he's a miracle walking, that's for sure.
Wow.
Pretty incredible.
So is he okay now?
Yeah, he's probably, I'd say, 70%, 80% back.
Okay.
He's doing a lot of rehab, so he has because he tore up his legs and a lot of stuff, so he's got to do physio, exercise physiologist, occupational therapy and speech. And but he's amazing. Like, he'll make a full recovery.
Amazing.
And it's a year next month. And so they were using words like, he may not make it. If he does make it, he could be a vegetable. We don't know. All that sort of talk. And then they were like, look, if he gets through all of that, it's going to be a minimum of 2 years before you'll have any normalcy of life. And it's not even a year. He's been going back to work a couple of days a week.
Wow.
He's got his license back. He's driving again. Yeah, it's amazing.
He's literally a walking miracle, hey?
He is a walking miracle, that is for sure. Yeah, amazing.
And you emailed me some photos of before and after. So he's in hospital, beaten up with all these things, and he was in a induced coma for a month and 3 months in hospital. So it was a rough trot.
It was a rough journey.
But then the after photo is a great photo of him, and he's holding a baby, but it's not his. Is that right?
It's not his baby, no. Okay. He loves kids. It's all a different young families in our church.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a special thing it's pretty amazing to watch and walk that journey out and, holding onto your faith. And,
So let me just clarify. This after photo that you sent me with him holding the baby that's not his.
Yes.
That's him these days. He just looks normal. There's nothing wrong with him.
Correct. Yeah, correct. You would never know.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing. Even with his walking now, it's getting better and better because of all the physio he's doing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
God is good, hey?
Yes, he is. He definitely is.
So good, mate. And just before we wrap up too, you and I met at a pro-life event at Queensland Parliament House. There was a whole bunch of Christian ministries there, Answers in Genesis, Church and State, Australian Christian Lobby, all these different pro-life ministries, Cherish Life. All talking about, you know, the Bible says that, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb in Psalm 139. Yep. Every life is precious. Just speak to that for us, mate. How were you impacted that day when we gathered together?
Oh, man, I'm so big on, you know, every life is precious. And, you know, these little beautiful babies, they don't have the choice. They don't have the ability. Mm. And they are being slaughtered. Like, it's an absolute, it's a crime. Mm. And so being there and, you know, you were there, they played that little short documentary.
Oh, my goodness.
And, it's something our world and our generation needs to wake up to, that this is really it's a stain on our society, on our world. And it's deeply impacting. And, you know, I'm obviously a pro-life. I mean, it's at a real base level.
Yeah.
It's very, to me, it is simple, because I know the pro-choice argument is, like, you know, the women – at a base level, that woman wants to be separated from this life.
Yeah.
That's the core issue here. Well, you can have the baby and be separated from the baby if it's adopted.
Yeah, true.
Either way, you've got to have this baby.
Yeah.
No matter which way you look at it, they're going to rip it out of you. They're going to cut it to pieces. Either way, you're going to be separated. Well, why not separate from this baby and give it a chance at life and give it to a family that wants it at a real basic level? I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, it does, mate. Absolutely.
Like, man, this is really evil.
Yeah. It's a new video that the Australian Christian Lobby has produced, and I know it's very quite shocking, but it's the truth, and we need to keep praying for the pro-life message and for politicians to be able to... Be able to speak up about this, because there's been some horrific things happening in politics about this, and the Bible's very clear about the pro-life message, and it's good to hear another pastor speaking up for it, mate.
And it's a fight worth fighting, that is for
Amen.
Sure.
Amen. Yeah. Well, it's good to hear your passion for the pro-life message. It's good to hear your testimony, and if people want to search up Gold Coast Chapel, they can check out all your socials and your website, and I know you're doing a great work for the Lord in the beautiful Gold Coast. Daniel,
you,
it's been so good to chat with you, mate. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you so much. God bless.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.
Looking for fashion that feels like you? Kindred Boutique is where style meets heart. From effortlessly chic outfits to those little details that make all the difference, Kindred Boutique curates pieces you'll love wearing again and again. Thoughtfully chosen, beautifully made, perfect for every day and special moments. Because at Kindred Boutique, it's not just about clothes, it's about connection. Discover your new favourites at Kindred Boutique. Shop online now at kindredboutique.com.au. Find your style, find your people.